Hey, greetings, friends. My name is Andy Steele Smith. Today, I want to reflect on Amos 5 and a message entitled Justice, Oceans of It. The global church has been shaken to its core by opportunities, challenges, and crises over the past few years, and it's still being shaken today. Scandal after scandal, defilement after defilement, abuse cover-up after abuse cover-up, financial scandals, you get the picture. So much of the impurity that we all run the risk of falling into the traps of is being refined and shaken out of the church. And sad, difficult, and hard as that process is, I'm pretty sure that it grieves God less to have these things exposed than it does for him to know that they're going on underground, so to speak, and yet allegedly in his name. Here in South Africa, we still even see systemic institutionalized racism evident in plain sight in the church of all places. Not all churches, not even most, thankfully, but for such a fundamental sin to be evident in any is extraordinary, or at least it should be. So much of both the local South African church and the global church seems to be struggling to identify where it sits and what or perhaps who it stands for. And then we have the challenge of churches competing for space, people, finances, influence, and ideology rather than having a unified global church that focuses on what its different branches have in common as opposed to what differentiates and divides them. I've heard it said that the Big C church is being shaken, awakened, and challenged as we step closer to end times. So right now is a great time to sit back, take stock, and evaluate what God is saying to his church. So my question for us this week is simply this. What are we as a global church learning from all of this carnage? For starters, I hope we're learning that big people and big personalities are not the solution. Actually, ego, big egos, and particularly mega egos, are one of the biggest causes of the problem. And another is the so-called free churches with completely inadequate accountability and oversight. We've all seen the disasters that come with that. We need substance, character, depth, and real engagement with God-led purpose. We need pastors and pulpits who emulate Jesus, not who emulate man. As Psalm 42:7 says, "Deep cries out to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me." So that deep space is the one in which the church needs to reside in. Churches sometimes talk of endeavoring to be relevant. During the recent pandemic, we saw the churches that fought for the right to stay in the building, and then we saw those who expressly left the building. They actively left the building and sought out the lost, the broken, the destitute, the grieving, and the hungry during the pandemic. And those churches in particular seem to be thriving and prospering. I guess that the heart behind their servant-like actions during the pandemic set them apart and made them still relevant and dependable now, even a couple of years after the pandemic has finished. Or at least that's how it appears to me. A good question to ask at this juncture is, has the church done what the church was meant to do? Has the church been a good witness of Jesus to a questioning and confused world? Or has it buried the proverbial talent that was given to it? I love the pure, simple, and pretty undeniable encouragement that Amos 5:21-24 gives us in the Message translation. It says, "I can't stand your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy, eager music. When was the last time you sang to me? Do you know what I want? I want justice, oceans of it. I want fairness, rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all I want." So what does this passage mean for us today? Well, firstly, I think it's a metaphor, and I don't think it's speaking against gathering as a church or gathering as a wider church. We'll likely all agree that communal celebration and worship are wonderful gifts from God, and this passage doesn't speak against that. However, it talks about our focal points and deeply questions what the pinnacles of our church and faith expression are. It delves rather uncomfortably into the motivations and the purposes behind what we do as a church. Put simply, I think the scripture is speaking against all of the trappings of our faith, unless three things are at the forefront of our faith expression. And those three things are clearly worship, justice, and fairness or equality. Amos is warning against religious meetings, conventions, conferences, biopic projects, fundraising schemes, and the like, unless they're underpinned and motivated by pure worship, justice, and fairness. Jesus didn't die for a building. He died for justice, fairness, and equity. And in the greatest miracle of all, he took the justice that we deserve to bear ourselves. Restoring justice, fairness, equity, dignity, and hope is exactly what he died for. So friends, are we focused on Jesus and what he would have done in a time such as this? Or are we focused on the trappings of our faith? That's a simple yet powerful question that this passage addresses.